I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Dina.
And I'm Jess.
And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome to Part of My Stash, a podcast about creating within the fiber arts and how awesome it is.
Yes!
Before we get started with this week's topic, let's find out what our people are working on, Jess.
I am still...
Oh, I like that.
Thank you. working on Nimue, a crochet blanket. I'm working on the middle part. I had a vague idea of the way I wanted the colors to go, and I've been kind of changing it up because I did it terribly on paint. And I'm like, I'm gonna switch it up. So we're kind of going with it. But Drea likes it, and I like it, so I feel like that's going pretty good.
Is it soft?
I said it's just the rogue base, so it's merino nylon, but it's fun. And there's sparkly parts, and there's other colors. Yeah. I finished the Lost Souls. Shawl, which is a mini shawl for my daughter, because I ran out of yarn and didn't feel like doing more because it's almost Halloween. So
it's got faces.
It does have faces, and it's blocking, and I'm blasting it with heat right now, so it'll be ready for tomorrow because I totally finished it only about like 4 hours ago.
Dude, and she's so pumped to wear it with her Halloween costume.
Oh, she is. She's all so excited
about it. So it's gonna go well with it. So
I'm gonna check on it tomorrow, make sure it has time to dry. But yeah, so I finished that one. I'm working on this one, and I'm using Critical Hit Dyes Rogue Base and Sparkly Base and in assorted colors. This one's got Vishka and Morganis and Silver Dragon and
natural
colors.
Drea?
I have literally nothing.
I see that.
I have nothing. I haven't cast on that bolero that I wanted to do. I didn't cast on the shawl that I want to do. And I think it's because over the past like couple months I've been, I guess I've been really stressed waiting for like answers from my doctor about like a diagnosis. Everything's great, but that waiting period, like once I finished the project that I was working on, I had nothing else. And now that I have gotten good news, I know. I'm very happy that it's good news. I'm getting caught up on all the things that I have been neglecting in my personal life, like cleaning.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I've been doing like the deep clean of my living space and getting laundry done and putting things away and
all that good stuff.
And that's really been taking up a lot of my time. So I will be casting on. I still haven't fixed my measurements yet. I feel like I'm in a better space to actually work on that now. So probably by the next time we record, I'll have something. Ooh, and I'm looking forward to that.
Meg? I am working on Calla still. I have not actually... That's a lie. I've doubled it since last week. You just can't tell.
you can tell.
Can you?
Yeah.
It seems. So I've been working on this super sporadically, and it's mainly been because my job is stressing me out, and everything is a multitude of things are stressing me out. To the point where, like, I get home and maybe you guys can understand this. You're like, all day, I cannot wait to sit down with my knitting. I can't wait to get some knitting done. And then I'm on the couch and I'm like, you know what's going to be more fun than knitting?
Doom scrolling.
I was just going to say that, literally. Like, the last, I honestly hadn't picked this up since Saturday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I did not knit a single stitch, like, at all. So I'm kind of trying to get more into it because I do enjoy it. It's very nice. It's very meditative. It's like the squishiest fabric ever, which is very nice, but it's just a lot of stuff going on right now. So I've been doing more doom scrolling than I've been doing actual knitting. I wish I wasn't like that.
I feel you. Sometimes it's like I catch myself like looking at my phone and I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be knitting right now.
Well, and that's the frustrating thing too, because you spend the entire day like
looking forward to it.
Like, wow, I can't wait to get back to my project and I'm going to get so much done. And this is what I've been looking forward to. And then you get to the end of the day
and you tell yourself you're going to scroll for like 10 minutes just to like just to ease into the rest of the evening, and then all of a sudden it's bedtime.
Well, you know what the kiss of death has been, honestly, is that right before bed our kid wants to do a cuddle puddle, where we all get into our bed together and we, you know, we snuggle and we'll watch like reels on Instagram and, you know, mainly cat videos because that's what she's into. And, you know, then she goes to bed. But now I'm in bed.
Yeah.
I am also in the bed. And I'm really comfy at this point. And I'm in pajamas. And the urge to get, it's so funny because literally every night, like, we'll put her to bed and I'll just kind of climb back into bed and just look in the room and be like, oh, not coming downstairs again tonight, huh? Like, we're all, this is what we're doing. So I really have got to break out of the cycle, and I have to stop going to bed early and then waking up in the middle of the night and doom scrolling some more. It's just, it's not,
it's gonna, it's be so hard because now conducive. It's daylight savings.
Oh my god, no.
And the only good thing about that is because it's October, all my indie horror players are playing all the indie horror, so I've just been catching up on that while I knit, watching some horror games.
I forgot about daylight savings, truly. I need the womp womp. I can't do this for 5 months, guys. Ugh. It's the worst.
Tina, what are you working on?
I'm still working on the slip on your shoulder knit for Blame the Knots. And I'm using Critical Hit Dyes, Drew DK in Thunder Wave. And Tequila Sunrise. And I wanted to show you I finished a sleeve.
The sleeve looks so good.
It does look
good.
It is
such an interesting construction. Like, it does look really cool.
So I made this harder on myself.
Oh.
Because I decided I'm going to make the accent piece on the side of the shoulder a different color.
Oh.
And, you know, I thought this won't be a big deal until I realized that 80% of the shoulder is short rows.
Oh.
So.
Just the collective.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, so I was just like, okay, well, I am going to come up with a plan for this. And I did.
The payout was really good because it does look really cool.
Yeah, it looks really good.
There's like, I see it and I'm like, mess up. But I'm also just like happy it's like done.
Yeah.
So I'm not like.
Well, nobody else is going to see anything if it's messed up.
No, I know that.
And you're almost done. Look at that. So safe to go.
So after I finished that one, I was like, I'm going back to the body. Because if I do another sleeve right now, I might hurt myself. So I was like, let me just do it. So I'm back on body rows. And I think I only have about an inch left to do.
Because
this is supposed to be a like a bit of a cropped top. So I only technically have like an inch to do. And then I can dive into sleeve number two.
Yeah. Well, she's really pretty. Good colors.
Thank you. I'm really happy with how the fade came out. It looks really natural. And I keep getting the comments of like sunset to ocean.
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm happy. Yeah. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
It's nice when your vision like plays out in real life. Like that's what you wanted for it. And that's how it came out.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
If you want to make a fun granny square type of thing like Jess is doing, you can check out our sponsor, JimmyBeansWool.com, where they have the granny square card deck, and it is a pocket-sized crochet muse.
It actually looks pretty cool. It actually does look really cool. Like, it's a whole bunch of little granny square options.
Oh, it's like a little amuse bouche.
It basically gives you, like, the finished square and what it looks like and an easy-to-follow way to, like, make the same thing. So I think that is pretty, pretty cool. So you can check that out again at jimmybeanswool.com. For more information about our podcast, check out our website at pardonmystash.com for more projects, patterns, and yarns. Guys, I'm feeling a feeling.
What kind of a feeling?
You know, sometimes the craft, there's stuff about the craft that really grinds my gears.
Well, I like that movie.
Dear God, Drea, why?
It's not a good movie, but it's fun.
All right. So
classic.
I want to remind you that you're on a fiber arts podcast, and that's what we're talking about when we say crafts.
Fine.
Fine.
Oh, my God.
Anywho. So right. I'm feeling a certain kind of way. I feel like complaining. And if you're feeling like complaining, come join us over at Part of My Stash, where we're going to complain this episode about what grinds our gears.
Why don't you start, since you're so spicy tonight?
Well, you know what grinds my gears?
Tell me.
That there isn't a knitting machine that can take over the body for you so you can just crank away and not have to do stocking up forever.
But do you know what? I'm not going to lie. When I got the Addy machine, I thought that's what I was going to be doing.
No.
And churning out all those sweater bodies.
I really did.
Do the fun part, then chuck it on there and get the rest of it done.
I was like, oh, knitting machine. This must be what this is for. And it's not.
No.
I was super disappointed.
Listen, someone's got to get on that. Someone's got to get on that.
I mean, I think you can do it with the flat machines that have way more hooks.
Yeah.
I only have a round one.
I want to get a flat one.
Yeah, the round Addies are just not going to do it. It can barely make a hat.
Well, and also, heaven forbid you drop a stitch. So, like, as you're clicking it, like,
yes, but also I've really figured out tension to make that not happen as much. Basically, if you don't keep consistent tension, that happens all the time.
Right.
But there's like a special way that I talk to my Addy. I literally talk to him like, come on, we're going to wind this yarn today, and we're not going to be mad, and we're just going to wind it, and we're just going
to have a good
be
day.
There's a special
today.
Way Jess talks to it, too. It's not like that, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like that. That's probably why it throws the stitches.
See,
oh, no,
it's
friendly.
Not. You have to be friendly.
Jess isn't friendly.
I'm sure.
Listen, it works on my printer. It should work on my Addy. That's all I have to say.
Listen.
But yeah, no, because like, and don't get me wrong, like, I love a good stockinette stitch when I'm just sitting watching TV and being mindless and not, you know, just enjoying the knitting without really like.
Where you don't have to count and keep track.
Yeah. But then there gets to, especially when you're doing a plus size sweater, there just gets to a point where you're just like, man.
I just want to be done.
I'm going to take off my boobs because I really just want to make a smaller sweater so I can finish this faster. I think that's where I'm at with that. Meg, what grinds your gears?
Okay. So this is not meant to be like a Ravelry like dunk, but what I do hate is when people on Ravelry tag their pattern with every single tag known to mankind, trying to reach a bigger audience. And you click on that pattern and it has nothing to do with any of the things that you were looking for in the first place.
Annoying.
It is really annoying. And it's a trick that some designers use to try to get more traffic to their pattern. But it is really obnoxious. It's really obnoxious when you're like, I'm looking for a DK weight sweater with such and such. And you end up getting like something that is totally not that, but it was... The designer hit every single tag.
No, and every once in a while they try and get around it by adding in the comments, well, you could use different weights and just gauge it to fit. And you're like,
going
to
do that,
though. I'm really surprised that that even gets by, because I feel like every time I submit a pattern and I tag stuff, they get real strict about it. They're like, nope, this is not this. This is not that. And it's like,
I feel
they're
trying to crack down on it. But every so often someone
gets
slips through and it is really frustrating.
And I'm not by no means, I just want to clarify, I'm not trying to do the multiple tags thing, but it's like,
you should if they qualify.
Right. It's just like some of them that I think qualifies, they're like, no, not technically because of this, but at least they give me an explanation.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, all right, I can see how you mean that. And, you know, and whatever. But like, that's why I'm surprised, because I'm like, oh man, they're real rough when I put something at their.
But if I'm like, if I'm looking for a DK weight sweater, I don't want a pattern for a fingering weight sweater that says, and you can totally fudge this if you do your own math. Like, no.
No, yeah, that's why I put in DK, because I don't want to do math.
I don't do math. I don't do the math.
Maybe that should be a tag in itself. Do your own math so you search for not that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I will not be doing my own math.
Exclude this tag.
I stopped doing math in freshman year of college. That was the end of my math career, and I will not be doing math again.
Because there's some patterns where that makes sense. Like, I know a lot of really... awesome patterns that do a lot of options.
Yeah,
like
sure. Oh, flexible. Yeah.
And your arms and like even the slip on your shoulder has like an arm adjustment that you can do. But like, I Yeah.
Or they provide you with the instructions of, like, you can knit this in DK. Here are the instructions. Here are the fingering weight. Here's the bulky.
Like they still give you fine. Everything. Yeah.
As long as it's a full pattern with all the instructions, great. Tag whatever you want. But don't tag something if I now, after I have purchased the pattern, am to be expected to gauge it and do the math myself. No, absolutely not.
Meg.
I will not be doing that.
Especially if I paid for it.
Yeah, I will not be doing that.
Oh, that's like that's like the fastest way to get me to never buy one of your patterns again. Mm-hmm. It's like a mental blacklist in my head. I just won't. Mm-mm. If it's like not as described or it's like really poorly done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What grinds your gears, Drea?
When you buy a pattern because it says it's size inclusive and then you open the pattern and it's not.
I feel like you've had recent experience with
this. I have.
See, I feel like in that case, like and some people do this, and I appreciate the designers that do this. They put down the actual sizes that it goes to, and just so you know before you buy it that, this inclusive
like
size
the actual
still does
measurement.
Not,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's not going
to
fit me.
Yes,
yeah.
Because there are plenty of patterns and designs that say that they go up to 2X or 3X or 4X. And my definition of 2X, 3X, 4X is not the same as yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's or
like it was like it was obviously designed by somebody who does not have that
experience.
Need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that you do and then it clearly is not is.
Yeah, it's
misleading. It's misleading.
It just really gets me because now you got my money and I got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like. I also don't like the fact in the same kind of vein when they say it's size inclusive with that, but then like add an additional factor of, well, it's size inclusive, but these sizes and those sizes, you have to do math and these ones are all set.
Mm.
So like it'll say like small to XL or whatever, size 2 to 5. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all like there's all the counts for you and everything.
We graded
okay,
everything for
if
you.
You're a size, you know, a 2X, then you have to like add 5 here, add 6 there, put 4 there, and I'm like, that's
no.
Just write it out.
Can I include
it in the pattern?
Can I piggyback on that? Because I got one to go along with this one. It drives me absolutely freaking nuts. When they will the pattern is says like, okay, we have sizes up to, it's size inclusive, we're up to here, but then the pattern calls for 10 inches of positive ease.
And they count the positive ease,
they count the positive ease into the, like, so they'll say like, okay, we do up to a size 52 inch bust. Well, then you should be providing a pattern that goes up to a 62 inch bust.
Yes,
if I'm supposed to look like the model, if I need to have that much ease.
Yeah, you can't like provide
so
a fitted garment on for one size
right.
and a loose hanging garment for the
right.
other. Then you have two different garments.
Exactly. Yeah. It like, should. And I'm noticing, I will say, like, not to sound like super, super negative, but I have noticed that seems to be falling away and more designers seem to be like, okay, if this is the way it should be worn, then this is the size that it should be worn for everybody. But yeah, that to me is a huge turnoff. Like I'm still, even after my surgery, I still have a decent sized bust. And I still tend to sometimes fall into that. If it calls for 10 inches of positive ease, they don't always go up to what will work for me. Not at all. So
yeah.
I don't like that.
But I also like when, in a similar positive affect, I really like when you're able to like, reasonably size up even as a plus size. Like I was able to do that with the slip on your shoulder. Like my size was 1 point but the pattern is a negative ease. I didn't want negative ease.
Right.
So I was able, but there was enough sizing provided that I was able to like pick the next one so mm-hmm. I could have negative ease instead of the, so it's a little looser on me instead, because my fit, I don't want it to be extremely fitted.
Yeah.
I don't personal preference. I don't ever want a sweater to be super fitted.
And I think like
ever.
And it has nothing to do with like
it's comfort.
Yeah, it has
comfort.
It's nothing to do with like, oh, like
body
I'm big
shaming
and
or,
that.
Yeah,
look,
no.
It's literally just like I just feel like I'm in a saran wrap.
I like more air between me and a sweater.
Yeah. I want the freedom of movement.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think fitted sweaters or negative E sweaters look fantastic. I personally am not a huge fan on me. I don't like it. Like, I just don't find it comfortable. I feel very restricted.
I don't mind, like, slight positive. Like, I don't need, like, a huge positive ease, but, like, I don't like negative. I definitely don't like negative.
Yeah. And that, but that should be taken into account.
Right.
Like, that, even if this, well, I mean, I get it. I get to an extent, like, they're saying, if the designer is saying it should be worn with negative ease, like, I get that. But still, it is nice when there is a nice enough range that you can be like, oh, I'm just going to knit the next size up and make sure it's a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, on that, non-flexible test deadlines. And I don't say that to reflect mine, because Blame Knots has been A+. Thank you, Mary, for like letting me kind of extend my deadline with a bigger size. Like, regardless of the reason, like, as long as I communicated, she was A-okay with me extending. But yeah, so if you're expecting me to create a garment that has a bust of like 52 inches, for example, I can't make that in 6 weeks, guys. I can't make that in 4 weeks. What? Even 8 weeks is a little rough. Like, I think it's just, and I know this has been talked about, but it's still a grind my gears thing, because it's there. I still see the weird calls where people are like, oh, drop everything in your life and do this free service, not get paid, not get anything for it, and, you know, make my thing so that I can use your pictures. Like, what? No, mm-hmm. no, I don't like that. So,
but yeah. Then people wonder why they don't have people that want to test the bigger sizes.
Yeah, I mean, it's intimidating. I mean, when you're doing the bigger sizes, or even honestly the regular sizes too, like, if you bigger sizes for sure, because you literally are making sometimes double the size of someone else. Like, so, you know, if you're making a small and I'm making a 3x, well, like, God, that's a whole lot more fabric that I gotta knit than you do.
Yeah.
But just like this kind of idea that, you know, oh, nobody wants a test. If nobody's offering, there's an issue, and it's not with the testers. It's probably with your call. Yeah. So like, if nobody's offering and nobody's saying blah, 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 it's probably a flexibility issue. It's probably like either a size issue, or, I mean, obviously some people just don't want to test it because I know certain people won't test a sweater in general because usually there's just unrealistic deadlines. But yeah, like, I think you would get more people interested, especially on the larger spectrum, if you were just like, nah, don't worry about that. If you need more time, it's fine. Just as long as you just say, I need more time. But I also want to bring up Ocean Knits literally got rid of deadlines.
Oh, I love that.
Just got rid of it. And I think it's more realistic. I think you get a better product. I think you end up with.
It takes all the pressure off.
Well, I was going to say, people are less stressed.
And especially if you're not getting paid for it. Like, what the heck? And like, it's one thing when you're getting paid, because you're getting paid to do a job, and like, okay, there should be some kind of deadline and like, you know, some indication of when they would receive what they paid for, right? But if you're asking me to do something free, take my time out of my day and do work on your project,
then the deadline should also have that expectation.
Yeah.
Well, I also think to an extent, like with designing, and this is not like meant to be a slam on designers, but I always find it a little, I get a little skeptical when I see like, I want this for this deadline for a release on this date. And I'm like, then why are people testing? Yeah. If you already know when you're going to release it, are they testing to check it, or are they testing for drumming up excitement? And that's fine too. Like, I know a lot of testers rely on the, you know, designers. Other people. Yeah, a lot of designers. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Designers rely on the testers for, you know, drumming up excitement and enthusiasm. I totally get that. But it doesn't. That's not really a test then. That's more like a
promo call.
Like a pre-release. And maybe that's the thing that we need to address. Yes. Yeah. It's not really, you're not really testing it. If you're confident enough that your testers aren't going to find any mistakes,
then it's a soft launch.
It's more like a soft launch. Yeah. So maybe that's something we as the community need to kind of reframe how we look at testing. Mm. Because if it's a true test, you are not entirely certain that it's going to work, and you're not entirely sure if everybody's going to have a smooth testing experience.
Yeah. The point is to find mistakes,
right?
Yeah. That is the point. It's not to say your pattern definitely has mistakes. It's to literally give feedback on, this was difficult for me to comprehend, this was easier for me to understand.
Yep. The numbers are incorrect.
Yeah. Even
something
when
was,
I was
unclear. Even if you've only got two out of 30 people.
The bind off is too tight. Things like that. Yeah. And you're taking the feedback from, or like, you know what, this was really uncomfortable for me to knit. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy knitting this. That's what a test call is for. If you're already so sure that your pattern is ready to go, that you've already decided when the launch date is, that's not really a test. And maybe in that case, I think then you can afford to be a little more flexible with the deadline or start it earlier, you know? If that's what it is, then let's make it a little, I don't know.
No,
I don't know. I got
totally,
feelings. This is why I don't test anymore.
No. I get it. And I totally think that this soft launch premise is a lot of times because if you are making a size inclusive pattern, you want to show all the sizes. Mm. That's
how
important.
They look. Yeah.
Yeah. Because people are visual and they're going to, oh, you have photos of people wearing your pattern. Okay. Am I in there? Because that's what people are doing. They're going, is my body type in there? Yeah.
Right.
So some people, that's all they look for and then they move on. I feel like we need to reframe this.
I feel like this is like a movement. We need to reframe the idea of the test and make it more about it's about publicity. It's about showing the sizes. It's about, testers explaining oh, I really loved knitting this detail. I really enjoy this. I love this facet of the pattern.
I really like the soft launch, Drea. I think that makes sense.
I think it does too. I think it makes way more sense than test.
Yeah, because then, you can have a deadline because you want to launch it at a certain point and you're trying to drum up promotion and you're trying to promote your product. So that would make more sense to have a deadline. But if you're testing something that you don't know works yet,
Look, follow me for more advice.
No, and I can understand too. I'm already in my head going, what the rebuttal for that would be, because a lot of times you would tech edit before you test. So wouldn't you know that it's tech editors don't necessarily pick up was this easy to read? Was this something that fits my body well?
Was it comfortable to knit?
Yeah.
They're checking the math.
They're making sure that the pattern mathematically makes sense.
Right.
That this makes sense for
the correct stitches are.
It's a tech edit. Yeah. That's the point. It's not a fit edit. I've worked with tech editors and sometimes they'll alert me your circumference on this brim is way too big for this size. Yeah, that makes sense. But they're not going to give you they're not going to be when I was knitting this section or I was crocheting this section, I found that this whole, it really felt weird in my hands and it was hard to manipulate the stitches in this section.
The way you bound off the sleeve is going to cut off people's circulation.
Yeah. Like
that's what a tester is for. A tech editor is not. They're going to be oh, that's a great ribbing. Cool. The ribbing math makes sense. They're not going to be wow, that is going to cut off your hand circulation when you knit that.
I agree with you. I don't know. Something that just if we separated it more, I think there'd be less arguments about it. I think there'd be less frustration because the expectations would be set so much better. You would have, I'm going to do a soft launch. So there's a deadline. I need photos. I need this. I need that. Mm-hmm. Compared to I'm doing a test knit or I'm doing a testing call and I need to figure out if this pattern is like okay as is to start launching to the public and mm-hmm. start a soft launch, you know, like or whatever.
Well, I think with a soft launch too, there would be an expectation of this pattern is already perfect. Because right, leading into another grind my gears, but charging testers if they don't finish. I think that is a lot of audacity to give an incomplete, untested pattern to somebody and say, do this work for me to check this pattern. And if you don't finish for whatever reason, you now have to pay me for it.
Not even just payment, but just a consequence in general.
Right.
Like, yeah. Get out of here.
I could understand. I'm giving you an advance copy
yeah.
of a perfect pattern.
Or what I believe.
What I believe is a perfect yeah. pattern for yeah. you to give me a sample that I will then use to promote. If you do not hold up your end of that deal, I can understand at that degree of, yes, you should pay for the pattern.
But even when, if you got into that point, if you were getting that, like, what's the word? Like, professional about it? Like,
sure.
At that point, there would be a contract. There right, would be, like, an right, expectation.
Right, because you are getting something.
Which, I don't think I've ever brought this up, but one of the test nets I did had me sign a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a test?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
And this was back when I was first starting, so I didn't know better. But, yeah. like, also it was a super easy knit, so it was fine. But, like, now that I'm sitting here, I'm going, like, that really only makes sense in the soft launch circumstance.
Yeah, if it's yeah, if they know it's already perfect. And if you are, again, testing, or not testing, but knitting for, like, promo, not for checking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Because I also feel like a soft launch is more appropriate to like call for, because like at a certain point as a designer, I know I feel this way. You get to a point where you kind of have a core of testers that usually volunteer and have like that extended kind of sizing if you're needing it. Like you have kind of a good base to work right. from. You don't necessarily have to do a public call every single time after a certain point.
Right.
But for a soft launch, I could understand why you would. Mm-hmm. Because yep. maybe you want different people doing this. Maybe you want just like certain types of accounts to do it because you want them to share it a certain right. way.
Some differences too, because a yeah. lot of people when they do stuff, there is like they like their a color, they like a method, and yeah. maybe you want to branch out. You want to get ideas
a little more imaginative. Yeah. yeah, no, and that makes sense. We have a lot of opinions about this clearly.
I think, well, I don't know. I think it's just, well, for one, we're all plus size. That's either yeah. are or was at some point. So I feel like we all feel that part to a degree. And several of us have tested. So, like, I know, like, I think that's why we're like, hey.
yeah.
But
it's, well, I think you learn too. I mean, I have absolutely no bad feelings about this designer whatsoever, but I did test knit a sweater and realized about myself as I was going through it, this is not for me. Like,
yeah,
this is too much pressure. This project is too big. And I don't have the time. And again, the designer was nothing if not gracious. So I have absolutely no complaints with her. The fault was all mine, but it definitely taught me this is not, the test knitting sweaters is not for me.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
And really, even the one I'm doing now was only acceptable in my mind because short sleeves, short body,
mm-hmm.
like I felt like it was almost reasonable. Like right. I felt like I could get there. And even when I signed up, I said to her, I was like, I don't know if I have enough time based on like the deadline set, but like I'll try. I'll give it a good try. So yeah, I feel like if it was a full blown long sleeve, I don't know. I don't think I would throw my hat in because I've been there where it's like I just feel like
the walls are closing in.
Yeah.
And I'm trying my best, but this isn't gonna happen.
And it's hard when you have a family right. and you have like or
a job,
and life in general.
You don't know
what you're gonna get hit with, and right. then all of a sudden you're like, oh God, you know, I can't. I'm gonna lose a week.
On a roll, and then something happens, yeah. and now right. you're behind,
yeah.
and things happen.
Does anything grind your gear? Jess,
really weird things.
Good.
Whoa.
So first off, listen, and I still have to look this up because it does bother me and I just haven't had the time to look it up. But I don't like that the smaller the bead, the higher the number of its sizing.
Okay, I agree, because when we were looking, I got very confused.
No, it's because I know that this is the case. Only sometimes people don't do, and I get real mad when they don't do it that way, because I'm like, I'm training myself to remember this is the case, and now you're just confusing me more. Yeah. I usually use size 6, so I shouldn't even complain that much, but I don't know why they do it that way. And I always mean to look it up and then I get distracted and I don't. So one day I will look up why they do that. But it is really confusing.
Or somebody will tell us.
Or someone will tell us. and then I won't have to look it up.
Drea's just whipping herself
out right now. But that is obnoxious. Going off of the beaded thing, I am mad that I cannot get beads to work on this project right now because it doesn't look the way I want it to on crochet. And that annoys me because there isn't a fix for that. I can't fix the way beads work on crochet. But
Jess, make physics.
Do you want me to answer the bead?
Yes,
question?
Yeah, answer it.
So the number before the slash indicates how many beads fit in an inch.
Oh.
And the number after the slash indicates how many times the beads need to be strung to make an inch. So, for example, a size 8/0 bead means that 8 beads fit in an inch. The larger the number, smaller the bead.
Okay. That makes more sense.
I am happy to answer that for you.
I got the music for this.
What a good moment. That was a good moment.
I am so glad because, again, I always mean to look it up and then I never do. So now I know.
I love to look things up immediately.
But
Frank.
But yeah, the bead on crochet thing is, and again, I can't fix it because it is a meat issue. I just don't like the way it looks.
You're gonna just sew them on afterwards. I already said that. But
I tried both ways that I know how to bead stuff, and I was like, nope, we're just gonna do this later. For the third way, that it's kind of cheating because it's an after.
It's not cheating. It's not cheating. It's just not.
It's still a technique.
It's just not doing it before the project is done. But that's okay. And there are beaded crocheted projects that look good. And it is not this one. So it is not a giant granny square. At least, again, to me, some people probably look at it and they're like, what is wrong with you? That looks great. And I'm like, no.
No, I thought it looked kind of
funky. I want it to sit on the left leg and not the right leg. And
I'm literally at work. I'm teaching politics and I'm getting all this flood of texts about how
I was having a moment.
Distraught she was. And then the pictures of the beads in the crochet. It was a bad day for
I
her.
Put in and tore out that like four
she
times.
She was not happy.
So
it was a moment in time.
It was a moment. And then I was like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to do the third option of adding it later. And then I can control it a little bit more. But knit on beads, I have discovered that I like better than crocheting on. So far, I just maybe haven't found the project. But so that grinds my gears.
Wow.
Okay, no. she did warn us that it was weird.
I think that makes perfect sense. I'm sure there are plenty of others, and I'm sure you've gotten texts from me before, but right now I was just like focused on this current bead.
Well, it's
issue,
relevant
so.
To the moment.
Ooh, I got a really simple one.
Okay. Tell me.
I open my needle case and the one needle that I need is the only one that's missing.
Oh my God. That's like guys with the, what's it? The 10 socket? Yeah, it's like, the number 10 socket whenever they open up their toolkit and the 10 socket is always missing.
It's me with the 3/4 bit drill too. I don't know what is up with 3/4 bit drill, but that's always missing.
It's me in sizes 6 to 8.
Yeah, that too.
Like literally just sizes 6 to 8.
That's you know what I love? No, you'll open your needle case looking for a 6, right? And all you have are 3s every single time. Yes. Then you open it to look for 3s and there's all your 6s. Yeah. No 3s.
So good. such a great moment.
I was going through my needle case and there was needles I wanted in particular to use with this one, and it called for 8s and 6s, and I was like, oh man, I know exactly which ones I want to use. And then I looked in my case and I was like, all I have are the ones I don't want to use.
So I'm using the ones that don't want to.
That's
oh, I like too when it's like you need a size 16 like what is it for your circulars, and it's like here's size 10, here's size 20. do you want to shove too many stitches on, or do you want to be stretching for dear life?
Oh,
because I decided to cast on at 10 p.m. and can't go to
the store. I got the universal grind my gears. All right, you ready? You're not ready. You're ready.
I am ready. Lay it on me.
When your cable comes unscrewed.
Yeah,
and worse when you don't realize it's come unscrewed until all of a sudden it's floating in your live stitches.
I'm telling you, I feel like I know what can fix that, and I just don't have the ability to create this.
It's so much rage. I hate when I get to the end of every row and I gotta stop and screw the stupid things back on again. But no, I'm not going back to straights.
No.
You not gotta use it. Your little key thing.
We're not interchangeable.
No, I have done that. It still doesn't work.
Well, then
it works temporarily.
And I've been told lies.
It does. It works temporarily.
I have considered not using interchangeables and just buying
a lot. You have to buy so many,
and then they all go missing.
You'd have to buy so many.
I know,
but then we do that anyway. Wait, so you know what?
I totally did that though. I bought like a bunch of Addy Turbos in the sizes I normally use. Mm-hmm. And now I can't find those either.
No. Stop.
No.
Like, all I have are the way too big sizes.
No.
And the way too small.
Stop. Guys, why are we like this?
No, I was like, this will solve all my problems. I did the exact same thing. I was like, screw all these interchangeables. Wait. I'm going to buy a single one at every single size that I normally knit.
And then you never see them again.
And then I opened up my box and there you go. What's missing? Sizes 6 to 8. Awesome.
Right. This grinds my gears and makes two.
Oh, no. What?
I can't find the eyes.
No.
I don't know where they are again.
I'm telling you, guys, every time Jess loses eyes.
One day, 100 years into the future, when we are both long dead and this house has passed into new owners, they're going to be doing the sweep. They're going to find eyes somewhere.
Everywhere.
Oh my God. And they're going to think that there's something weird going on in the house. Wait, like the house is cursed.
Beads are going to like fall out from under the heaters. Or
I'm still finding beads.
What would be better is if the people who are finding it don't know that they're eyes and they're just like, what are all these black things they're doing up?
Oh no, some of them are definitely like
some
colored
have
eyes.
Irises.
So they definitely look like
eyes. The ones I have are just like black dots.
No.
I got those too.
Oh no, she's got to buy the special ones, like the dragon eyes and the cat eyes. And
I need
and
more
then
of those
all,
anyway.
And then like every time she goes to make a creature, she's like, oh, I can't find the eyes again. And I'm like,
no,
cool.
But then I'll find the eyes and you'll be like, there, you have the eyes. Go ahead and do it. I'm like, yeah, but I needed red ones and there's nothing.
So who did you say lived in this house before we did?
Some really freaking weird people. No, dude, it is like every time she goes to make an amigurumi, like, we got to buy more eyes. And then I like, do. Great. I don't know what happened to the other 700 eyes. We have plans for the next long weekend. She's taking the weekend off with me. And instead of going somewhere fun and doing something fun, we're literally going to toss the entire craft room. And if we don't find the eyes, I'm going to be so mad.
I did find the noses.
Stop. I didn't know they were missing.
I didn't know you had noses.
Yeah, they're cute. I haven't made anything with them
you
yet.
You cannot imagine the
there
amount of
noses,
craft supplies she has.
Like when you search for eyes, like the noses come up almost always. Like they come up with the eyes.
I have little pink ones.
You cannot imagine the array of craft stuff she has that is just hanging out in the basement.
But like, I have discovered I can use them for felting now. So now I have to find them and keep better track of them.
Oh, what grinds my gears is myself, because every time I do a clean sweep of the craft room and I say, I will never let it get that bad again.
Yeah, what the heck, me?
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, never. Never.
No, you just decide 2 weeks later, you're like, cool, we're all set, everything's great. And then 2 weeks later, you find a new craft and you're like, let me buy all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's my life.
I need cubbies with all my
individual stick to
crafts.
Like 1 to 2 crafts, no. And Jess just accumulates them like Pokemon.
I think the cubbies actually might make sense though.
I don't think the cubbies can fit
this,
her stuff.
This hobby, fair, that
no,
hobby.
No, it's crazy.
Are the cubbies big enough? for each hobby.
Well, you could do cubbies, or you could do like big, like one of those big, like,
we don't have that much space. Like,
okay, I could probably do the wood burning and the Dremel together.
I feel like we're going to be fine when the kid finally outgrows the need for a playroom and we can make a second craft space and it can just be Jess's. And then I'm just going to shut the door and it can be as messy as she wants.
I always clean up when I'm done with the craft.
This week on Saving Marriages.
We are fine.
I'm kidding.
But it is
absolutely kidding. It's just
funny. It is like that's the craft stuff.
If you want to lament, you can lament with Patrick, because he told me that if any craft stuff comes out of my craft room, he's going to toss it.
That Liz, I can't do that.
He's like, this cannot. And so, okay. So with Yarn Saver, I had to get a new freezer because I have a lot of stock. And Pat was like, no, it's escaping.
It's moved into the new space.
And I was like, well, it's like
freezer.
I had, yeah.
Because so you can freeze the yarn.
So when I get incoming yarn from people who want to sell,
make sure there's no eggs in it.
Yeah. So like they, you know, I get the incoming yarn. Mm-hmm. People like want me to like, you know, assess it and give it prices. But like, I don't even touch it until I've frozen it like twice. I do like freeze, thaw for a day, freeze. And then once that's done. Fair. Kills all the
anything that might be in it.
I just don't want to bring anything into my house either.
No. Because right you now, never know.
Yeah,
I'll
sacrifice your stash.
Oh, God.
Takes one moth, man.
It takes one moth.
I've already been like separating it anyway, but like it's just, yeah. But yeah, that freezer, it's definitely outside of my craft room. And
he's got some feels about it. So you know what you say? You just say, Patrick, I'll make a deal with you. You can move the rec room into my craft room. I'll move my craft room into the basement.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the kids would protest. Probably. That's their playroom area, too.
Probably.
No, I don't need like that much more.
So when they've outgrown their playroom.
When the kids have outgrown their playroom.
And I thought this, you know, several thousand feet home was too big. He's actually not like against me doing like that.
No.
He's like happy because it means like the business is doing well and like he's supporting it. But.
It's spreading.
It's spreading. That's exactly.
I'm just imagining though when you first got it, like you not telling him, and he goes and he's like, "Oh, a freezer. What's in here?" And opens it, and instead of like frozen goods, it's like
neatly packaged plastic bags of yarn.
And it's like
no ice cream, right. Just string.
Wow. Nothing. How to disappointing. Eat here. That's it for this episode. For additional content and opportunities to connect with the cast, check out our website at partofmystash.com. Be sure to tune in next time for more laugh, tears, and not Drea, because you know what? No, because you kept talking about the craft.
It's a good movie.